It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I feel honestly the best I have felt all week. Not physically, my foot is still boo-booed. But I will say, like last night, because the Gardos had clinched during the day, and can I just say what a shot in the arm that was? It felt like, you guys know, I've shared some of the stuff that has been going on off air in my life with my biological father, my mom's boyfriend, and obviously, as a station, we've had a lot of change recently, and it's just kind of, I've been doing the thing that I do, which is, yeah, that's great, I'm going to work. And I don't know if you know this, not the like most mentally healthy way of doing things is just to put your head down and ignore everything. And so this week, I think it's probably because the foot is such, it's probably because I can't literally do anything other than sit on my butt. I'll be honest with you, the chickens came home to roost emotionally and mentally this week. So while, and I, by the way, I should say, I'm totally fine. I actually feel really great today, but a big part of that was the Guardians clinching yesterday and just the ceaseless amount of good vibes. Man, was that helpful to me. Can I just tell you, I needed that shot in the arm to kind of just get that dopamine kick to a level. Like, I thought cold showers could kick you, right? Could give you that little boost. The Guardians clinching yesterday was so much fun, and we will have quite a bit to talk about the Guardians and the Stephen Vogt impact, and we're going to get into, you know, scoreboard watching, and it's a football Friday, but we got quite a bit of the Guardians to talk about. But to continue that boost in the good vibes, last night a new TV show came out, Agatha on Disney, and so we did like a double feature movie night for the girls, and... Because they were off school, because we do that. Like, hey, we've been doing 5 days a week now for 2 weeks. Friday off. I'm not complaining. The teachers deserve it. Teachers deserve to get paid more. They deserve all the days off. You have to put up with my spoiled children, so I'm not complaining. But because of that, we did a movie night last night. And so, as you can imagine, I was sitting up in my reclining sofa. It's not even a sofa. Sectional. With my foot about two giant pillows high, with my Izzy cuddling on one hand, my Sophie and my Livy were cuddling with Vanessa on the other side, and I fell asleep in the chair, just absolutely, completely relaxed. So, good vibes, man. Like, today is a great vibe Friday. It helps that you got the Giants coming up on Sunday. And I don't want to disrespect the Giants, because there's a lot about the Giants that I actually like and respect. Starting with the Mara family, they have not really gotten it right the last, I don't know, since they fired or ran off Tom Coughlin. But if you look at them and historically what they mean, I've always been envious of that in what they have in Pittsburgh, because that just feels like something that should happen in Cleveland. A family that has owned their team or this team for decades and for generations. Instead, we got Art. And then we got Randy Lerner, and now we got the Haslams. Maybe that'll be the Haslams. I'm from 100 years. Cletus III may be running the organization there. But, like, right now, I've always loved the story of Brian Daboll. I didn't love him when he was the OC here, but I love the story, like his journey. I think he's a good head coach. I don't know he's going to be there long term, because they don't have a quarterback, and that is the number one thing that gets you fired. But Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence, I love the defensive line. And I do think they're starting to put together the pieces around the quarterback. So while I don't think the Giants are a very good team right now, I think they can be on to something in the near future if they just find out that pesky little question. If they answer the pesky little question about, quarterback, kind of the most important position on the field. I will actually, at some point in today's show, I will give Danny Dimes a modicum of credit. I'm going to do that. That's how you know I'm in a good mood. But listen, let's be honest here. This game is a game that the Browns should win. It's at home, all right? It's against a team that they are favored by 6.5 points on. And this is that next opportunity to start stacking wins. Now, listen, I think the most overstated thing in the world is you have to stack wins early in the season to make the playoffs. You have to stack wins whenever you can get them. And right now, there is a window between the Giants, Raiders, and Washington, who coming into the season, we didn't think was going to be that good. Now, the Giants are 0-2. The Raiders did just beat the Ravens on the road. I don't know how much that matters. The Commanders did just beat the Giants. But these next three games still represent something that I think matters, which is opportunities to continue to build specifically on the offensive side of the ball. In reality, I think the defense, every time the defense goes out, they're building on what they did last year. And they're tweaking and they're finding a way, right? Like, because they've been intact now for going on 2 seasons. Some of those dudes have been playing together. Actually, most of those dudes have been playing together for a while too. But on the offensive side, even if a lot of these guys have played together now for a while, they are trying to find themselves offensively. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if the Giants' defense is a greater or lesser challenge than the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think both have really good defensive lines, and I think they have some holes beyond that. But this is a, whether it's Jack Conklin or Jed Wills, right? Whether it's James Hudson III, that is kind of one of the things you got to pay attention to on Sunday is where do you go on left tackle, who's ready, and really can that person give you a chance in their, if it's one of the two guys coming off the injured list, can they give you a damn chance to go ahead and go up against two of the best pass rushers in the NFL? But as I say that, this is still a game you should win. You are, on paper and in principle, a better team. You're coming off better performances, right? Jacksonville was, I think, the 8th team or the 9th team in the AFC last year, even with the collapse. Washington, who the Giants just lost to, was so good they got the number 2 pick in the draft this last year. So it just puts you into the situation where you're at home, right? This team loves home cooking. This is a game you should win. And I also think, listen, we say, we always use the phrase that one game can neither confirm nor deny our feelings about our team. But it's also September. And sometimes, like both the Dallas and Jacksonville games, recency bias reigns supreme. So the other thing, this is a confirmation game. I don't think we have enough I think we have enough explanations or terms for individual types of games, but this is a affirm or negate game. You can either go out there and continue building on what you did against a team in Jacksonville, who at worst is probably middle of the pack in the NFL, and at best is probably a fringe playoff team, a team that can win the AFC South, but that's kind of a lower bar. So this, you know, you didn't play the best game, but you certainly commanded that game at parts against a better team than you're facing this weekend. Versus a team that I think, if we're all being honest with ourselves, this is a team that, quite frankly, you should beat. So that's what I, you know, will this game 5 weeks from now be the game where, that's the one? No, probably not. But it doesn't have to be that. It's simply the next opportunity to prove that the Browns are closer to who we thought they would be, which is a playoff team, and closer for the offense to get, another opportunity for the offense to get closer to who we need them to be, which is anywhere from a good offense to a top 10 offense. And I think that's an interesting spot for the Browns to be in, because conversely, I think the Giants are in desperation mode. I think the Giants know, and I guarantee you, Brian Daboll, who gets how the NFL works more than anyone, being a young offensive coordinator that had to bounce around bad situation to bad situation, then basically out of the NFL, had to go to Alabama to basically save his career under the auspices and the guidance of Nick Saban, and then working his way back into it with the Buffalo Bills, he understands that although 0-3 isn't a death sentence, when you're a team that people already didn't have high expectations for, it really puts you behind the eight ball. He's also in year three, by the way. Although Daniel Jones inexplicably continues to get another year, Brian Daboll is in year three, and that can be a make or break year for head coaches. So I'm gonna guess that there's a desperation in that locker room being 0-2 and knowing what going to 0-3 means. And the same thing with Brian Daboll, who you are never the owners, the Maras all the way down to Dave Tepper. They can tell you, hey, you're safe. We got you. We trust you. And then November comes around and all of a sudden people get skittish because they start to see people aren't coming back to the stadium for next year and re-upping their season ticket package. Bad football puts a pressure, or losing football, not bad football, puts pressure on a coaching staff in a way like no other. So I'm not saying it's a trap game, but this is a great opportunity to confirm everything we saw in Jacksonville and build on it. That's how I view this game, right? All right, you could have scored 30 points offensively on Sunday, but there were drops. There were ridiculous holding penalties pre and post snap. All right, can you clean those up? Against a good pass rush, can you keep Deshaun even more clean? Or can Deshaun keep making the plays? Or when I say plays, I'm not just talking about successful plays in terms of yardage and scoring. I'm talking about the plays that keep drives alive. The David Lee Roth play, as I've called it now 17 times this week, the splits throw to David Bell. And defensively, listen, Daniel Jones, as a passer, not great, Bob, but he does have the thing that teams have previously picked apart this defense with, which is mobility. I mean, Gardner Minshew, not necessarily a statue, but Gardner Minshew is a pocket quarterback that looked like Michael Vick last year when you were in Indy facing him. So Daniel Jones is a much, but I mean, honestly, I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe it's because it's truth, but I'm giving him a lot of credit here. Daniel Jones is one of the more mobile in NFL. So what are the Browns going to do? Are they going to confirm what week two said, or are they going to confirm more of what week one said, which this is a work in progress and it's going to be a bumpy start to the season? I think it's going to be the confirmation of extending and building on what Jacksonville and what happened at Jacksonville. But because we're talking two games, I don't definitively know. Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore. Elijah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, man.
Well, congrats on the fast start to the season, my guy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, I think it was the Jacksonville game where you really had just that consistent game. You got a couple good shots over the middle there. What do you kind of ascribe that early success to?
Man, really, it takes all 11 people. You know, I got my job done because everybody else got their job done. You know, whenever it goes smooth, it goes smooth, and it should look like that.
So when it does look like that, because I'm always interested in this. I don't know if you know this. I'm in radio. I'm not an athlete. But I definitely know the difference between what I feel is a good show and a bad show. What's the difference for you and when you feel like you've had a good game and a bad game?
Really, it's like, I want to say if everybody's gelling, you know, and that only just includes me. I feel like when I'm blocking good, when the line's blocking good, when the quarterback's doing good, when defense is doing their thing, and it just feels like an overall great performance on all three levels of the game, I think that I could leave and sleep good at night, you know, until the next week, you know. So I think that's how I view it.
So with that, you have had a couple drops this year. I promise I'm not going negative. I'm just addressing it. I'm curious, like, how much, you know, when you start to think about this as a wide receiver, is this something that you think, oh, I got to work on it, or is it more something you got to relax through to kind of get rid of the drops through the first two games?
I think it's just getting on the same page with the quarterback. That's all it is, and just, you know, attention to detail, focus, and playing our game, you know. We caught so much balls. We've been playing football since we were young. You know, a drop ball is nothing. You know, we're gonna turn around and make a better play. You know, it's only a lot to the fans. You know, to us, we just, you know, we keep it pushing.
Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The Jacksonville win was a great bounce back win. I don't think the box score tells how dominant of a performance that was. What did it take? You know, because that Dallas game, I think everybody kind of came out of that feeling a certain sort of way. What did it take the week leading up to Jacksonville to get it right and to come out and be just so darn dominant in that game?
It felt good. You know, I feel like it took a new week's of preparation. What everybody doesn't really kind of always see on the outside is that, you know, the beginning stages of the season, you know, everyone's running new plays that we haven't necessarily seen yet as well, including us, including the other team, you know. So early in the season, you kind of got to adjust, you know, especially like those first few games. But, man, it takes preparation, dedication, and just to keep going every single week, you know, quiet the noise and just, you know, believe in us.
So with that, you got another great opportunity. Kevin likes to say 1-0. Yeah, I go 1-0. Well, now's a great opportunity. The Giants coming in. So how do you keep that momentum from the Jacksonville game of you get it righted? You guys played such a spirited game. How do you continue that into this weekend?
Yeah, every week's a new week, you know, good or bad. We'll bring it with us, you know, but of course, building off the energy and just what it was like to play good on all three levels, but even better because we still left plays out there in Jacksonville as well. We're just going to plan on getting better every single week. You know, if that's not the mindset, then, you know, don't step up your stuff.
So I know we saw how the offense looked. And I'm not talking about the performance. I'm talking about, like, schematically against Dallas. And then there was some change up there with Jacksonville. Some of that's, you know, missing some blockers. Some of that is, you know, just trying to take that next step. But what do you think in the long run, by the time this season, by the time you guys are getting ready for a playoff game, what do you think the identity of this offense is going to be?
Man, only time can tell. You know, only time to tell. We're just all focusing on what we got to do. Everybody focus on their job individually, then we'll start gelling every single week consistently as a team.
So it's funny, man. We're talking about performance. We're talking about getting better. We're talking about getting righted. You know, Amari Cooper's meant so much to this team, and I know Amari's a big veteran in that locker room. And I thought it was great how open Amari was yesterday about how, you know, he's not content with his first 2 weeks and how he's getting it righted and putting in that extra work. But as like, is this, you're in an interesting situation because you're still the young buck compared to him. Do you feel comfortable going up to him and kind of pumping him up? Or is it kind of like when I try and go say something nice to my big brother and he's like, you're my little brother, shut up?
Yeah, no, it ain't the personal aspect into this sport. You know, I if anything, with people, you know, with our group specifically, I feel like we all lean in towards the, yo, get right. You see what I'm saying? We need you type of talk, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, everybody can have moments where they need to be told that, you know, we're playing in a physical game. And as a receiver, sometimes there's so many nuances that people don't see that we're doing, even when we don't get the ball. So, nah, it isn't that. Coop is very receptive and, you know, he's definitely a very open type of person and doesn't mind criticism from his brothers, no matter the age of anything.
Well, I'm going to have to give Coop my my older brother's number because I use some help there. So when it comes to Deshaun, I really loved what I saw on Sunday. I think Many people talking about like the stats and all that. I don't care about that. I saw the dude make some plays. Like, you know, what's the next step for you guys in that offense of not just going out there and having good sustained drives, but like what's that next step this weekend against the Giants?
Man, just to execute. You know, I think that's just the next step for every single game moving forward. You know, that's something that we can kind of like put in our mind now. You know, it's just to execute, you know, like take away some of the pre-snap penalties and just play our brand of football that we've established here, you know, which is to execute.
Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mel Kiper is sick of the offenses being down around football. He wants to ban two high safety shell. Are you behind that as well?
Man, you know what? Football's already getting soft enough, man. You know, I don't want no one else saying no funny jokes. You know, we're going to keep it how it is.
So with that, how much do you guys talk about that kind of stuff, though? Because you know, from the fan perspective, I think the casual fan loves the 70-yard touchdowns and the, you know, the Mahomes offense, and you know, they would love, you know, 54 to 53 games every single week. But from a football player perspective, like, how much do you guys pay attention to the fact that around football in general, the first 2 weeks, offense?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Is at an all-time low.
You know, on the offensive side of it, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're just finding ways to be more explosive. You know, we don't really look too much at, you know, what everybody else is saying. I mean, at the end of the day, like, we do have to look at the stats of other teams and see, you know, coaches, we all look to see how other teams and stuff is doing. So, man, we just focus on us. You know, at the end of the day, we trying to get beat the team that is not on that list.
So I got to say, I don't know if you know this, but when Jameis first signed here, Jameis came on my show. And he won the show over. He's so bubbly. He's so energetic. I got to know, when he starts in on his pregame pump-up, are you one of the dudes that's like, do you catch that vibe? Or do you kind of have to walk away and, like, laugh a little bit? Because the man is to a different degree.
Nah, man, we all invited in. You know, at the end of the day, you know, like, believe it or not, you know, even for people who don't really move in that way, that is needed at moments as well, you know, so someone to hold somebody accountable. You know, he's someone that doesn't miss much, and as you know, super bubbly and super passionate, I would say. You know, I think that's needed, especially before a game, you know, to get everybody going.
Have you seen his fast food rankings on TikTok?
I have not. I'm not a big TikTok guy.
All right. Well, that's by the way, I'm right there with you. But they were pretty darn funny. But you might have to go back and look at that video and jam him up, because some of the rankings, I don't know everyone in that locker room. I'm not trying to split the locker room up. I realize how I'm presenting this. I'm just trying to tell you there were some suspect answers in his 1-3 rankings of fast food.
Nah, yeah, definitely got to check it out now.
All right, so Elijah Moore's joining us here, guys, as we get you ready for Browns-Giants this Sunday in Cleveland. And I'm not trying to call back to the Dallas game for any other reason that you guys were so good at home last year, and then the Dallas game happened, and it just felt like some days it's just not your day, right? But how much for you guys, how much are you guys looking at this and going, not only do we want to win this game because we got to win this game, but maybe getting right in front of the home crowd because of how that first week went?
Nah, super important. You know, we got to keep our people faithful and, you know, wanting to show up to the games more and more and more to give us that energy. You know, we definitely feed off of it. I don't want anyone to think that's not real. It's super real, you know, but it's, you know, in general, like you said, of course, we're trying to win the game, but of course, this home game, you know, it's super important to have our people behind us. You know, we always want to put on the show.
So the Browns, once again, have been voted as one of the most analytically inclined organizations in football. And now I'm opening up Pandora's box here, because there are some old heads out there listening that just because I used the word analytics are going to be mad at me. But I'm just curious, you know, knowing that you have all that information at your disposal, you know, what are the things analytically that you look at to help inform whether where you are from a day-to-day basis, from a week-to-week basis?
I feel like all that information is for our help. It's definitely positive. You know, I feel like as a group and as a team, we use it, you know, the way that we should. So I think it's definitely a positive thing.
So I got to know, Ole Miss right now, they are fifth in the country, undefeated. They just kicked the holy crap out of one of my favorite. Yeah, 40-6 for Wake Forest. Is this the year that Lane puts together?
It is. And I was just saying that yesterday. I really do believe that it is the year. They look explosive. You see what I'm saying? I understand that the first two, what is it, going on week three for them, their first three games haven't been like a Georgia or an Alabama. But, man, to be putting up points like that, you know, is impressive in any game. So I think Lane really got a good niche over there, man. I'm definitely blessed that he's there and stayed there.
All right, I'm not trying to do you dirty here. I'm not trying to jam you up on the Ole Miss boards, right? But you can take one Ole Miss quarterback to win a game in their prime in college, Eli Manning or Jackson Dart. Who you choosing?
I mean, it's only right they go Eli, but you see the way Jack's playing is nice. But I'm going Eli.
Yeah, the guy does have two Super Bowls. I think that makes...
Yeah, come on, yeah, like, it's not... Come on, we got to be real. But the way Jax is playing, though, Jax got to keep going. Jax might have a career like Eli if he keeps going.
I think you're right on that. Well, Elijah, you've been so gracious with your time. Congrats on the quick start to the season. Can't wait to see what you guys do this weekend now that you guys are back home. And again, best of luck, best of health, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
For the rest of the show, it's Spencer German, the Germanator.
Nick. How's it going, man?
Was that an awkward intro for you?
No, I like that.
No?
I'm good with that.
I feel like potato salad is just, you know, we got to get you to rise above that. And I think,
you know, that was funny for a while. And then Ken like ran out of food items to continue to reference. Like he would do like German chocolate cake and potatoes, like German sausages. I don't know. But then he ran out of food and then he just went back to potato salad. And I think, you know, that's his thing, whatever.
Couldn't you just add German in front of anything? Hey, here's German salami.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, I kind of, because as somebody who has known a few Germans in his time, both with a last name and actual Germans, there's like a special, you ever had German fries? And you mean French fries? No, it's totally different.
No, they're totally different.
Yeah.
German fries.
Yeah, totally.
Can't say
I've
never had German fries.
Yeah, I think I might have just made that one up. But there are. It's like you can do the German
thing.
Although
if you come over to my house, I might cook you some fries, and then those would also be German fries.
That's true. Not native German fries, but Spencer German fries.
Yeah, exactly.
So we just I started the show with this because I want to react a little bit to what Elijah had to say. But we're also going to play some Albert Breer sound on the wide receiver spot here in just a moment with a focus on Amari. But I said to start the show that, you know, I think if I were to classify this game as anything, it is a affirm or negate game. Like, this game is an opportunity at home against a team that on paper is a lesser team, that is 0-2, so they're a lesser record team as well, that you can either take the step forward from what you did against Jacksonville and maybe get a good win, especially considering the Browns are 6.5-point favorites on FanDuel, or it's the negate game that takes you back and everybody has a half step back, even if you win.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about this game too, Nick, is just the timing of it, because last year, week three was kind of the week where we thought everything was kind of turning the corner. Like, we talk about how the first couple weeks of the season tend to sort of be this extension of the preseason, ironing things out. Even Kevin Stefanski's talked about how there's a feeling out process that goes on early in the season. And I think we've seen that now in week one and week two, where week one looked like a complete disaster. And then week two, they corrected a lot of those things and they looked better, but there's still room for progress. And so week three last year sort of became the week where everybody finally like hit the ground running. Everything was in sync. Everything was good. You scored a lot of points. You blew out a team that you were significantly better than and should have been better than. Deshaun played one of his best games in a Browns uniform in that game, and we all thought, like, okay, this is turning the corner. This is the Deshaun we're going to get the rest of the way, and then we obviously find out about the shoulder injury and everything that transpired after that, and we're hoping that doesn't happen in this instance. But it's, like, the perfect timing, again, for a team that I look at and say, on paper, you are significantly better than, and you should be favored by the 6.5 points that Vegas is giving you. And now it's time to go out and take care of business. So I do think this is almost the game that can sort of set the tone for, yes, what's ahead, but also like the rest of the season in terms of like, okay, you've ironed out a lot of the kinks, and there'll still be some of those things, especially as they shuffle offensive linemen and guys get back healthy with Conklin, Wills, whatever. But yeah, like this feels like the game where they can sort of take that turn and build the momentum for the rest of the season.
I will say, and I said this in the first segment. I think stacking wins early in the season has become a cliche. We said that last year. I've never said somebody who's like, I think they've got the ability or the latitude to, you know, start 0-4. Like, no one's ever said that. But
unless you're the Bengals, I guess.
Yeah, you know, no. Yeah, that's
because somehow they always start 0-2 and then find a way out of it.
And apparently, the Ravens this year. Actually, it's funny you say that, but pretty much every other team in the AFC North has shown, yeah, fast starts are nice, but you can start 3-6 and still end up in a playoff spot.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
At some point,
it's going to catch up with you.
I'm not saying this year. Well, no, I was actually going the other way. At some point, I think that is going to become a hurdle, Kevin. You know, like Kevin's Mr. September in his career. That's probably his best month and even early October. At some point, you are going to have that, well, you're 1-3 heading into October, and I think every coach at some point, even if they're the guy that gets a team ready early in the season, has to kind of to pan out with that. But Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin track the season episode by episode during their podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. Subscribe to this podcast now at 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So while you and I are having this conversation about this team and where they are, I know we talked in pretty in-depth yesterday about the Amari Cooper situation, but we had Albert Breer on at the end of the show. We didn't get to this piece of sound because, well, the Guardians had just clinched a playoff spot, and we were kind of knee-deep in that.
Oh, is that a big deal?
That was a pretty big deal, depending on who you ask there. And I thought it was interesting because my thing is, listen, I don't know that Amari's struggles are everything to do with the offseason. But I do think that there has been a little bit of grace or a pass extended to Amari that I think runs out pretty quickly. So I asked Albert Spencer whether, basically kind of pointing back to, should we be concerned that some of this points back to the holdout, not being happy with the end of that, and certainly being included in the Ayuk trade talks as well.
There was some frustration for him at the end in Dallas, you know, and so I think you can certainly keep an eye on it. You know, a lot of times you send a veteran player into a contract year, you know, these sorts of things can happen, you know, like where like the player is going to look at it and say, you know, where's the team really at with me? And so I think that all becomes relative to how he plays, right? Like, so if you can get him going and he's playing well, then like everybody wins, right? Like, because then you're getting a good level of production of the player, and the player is setting himself up to get paid. And, you know, whether or not you wind up renewing the relationship, you know, in February or March, you at least have everybody on the same page. If he isn't playing well, that's where you can have a problem, you know. And so I think it's sort of on the coaches to get him going. And yeah, he's not the only one on offense who's been off to a little bit of a funky start. And, you know, I think, like, you know, you look at, like, the trouble the Browns have had pushing the ball down the field, which, again, can relate to their offensive line issue. I think that's just something you're going to have to keep an eye on. And you hope that, you know, he can, you know, get himself out of his rut a little bit and start to play a little bit better. And, you know, then you get, again, into that, like, everyone wins type of situation.
I think between what Albert said yesterday and the fact that Amari basically admitted it, like, yeah, I've started to treat practices like they're games, I think we can say, whether it was an intentional thing or whether he's just a damn human and he was affected by it, that the slow start isn't just about offense being around down around the NFL. It wasn't just about Deshaun having an awful game against Dallas. This is more than just, these things happen and it's two games.
I think that's what stood out to me the most about Amari's comments yesterday, because he tends to be, I mean, we all know this about Amari. He's very much like the put on the professional mask, show up to work with your lunch pail and you know, get down and dirty and play. And I think that's part of why Cleveland fans love him so much. He's very much of that same ilk of Nick Chubb, where you love him because he represents Cleveland. He's that blue-collar guy who's just going to show up, but he's not going to complain. He doesn't say much. He's not the diva, the wide receiver that Odell Beckham Jr. was. He just goes to work. And so he tends to sort of, you know, not give you a lot all the time in press conferences. So on one hand, I was surprised that he was so candid. On the other hand, I was like, this actually does, you know, track for Amari, because he's the kind of guy that would take accountability. And he was basically admitting to us, like, yeah, I maybe haven't been as focused these first couple weeks, and I needed to be better about that. But it was just interesting to hear him sort of share that, because given everything he's been surrounded in, he was basically exposing himself to a world of criticism in terms of people being like, oh, so you're kind of checked out, or you've been at least kind of checked out these first couple weeks. And so what does that mean for you the rest of the season? And listen, none of us can get inside his head and know exactly the impact that the trade rumors with San Francisco had, or the fact that he didn't get a full-on contract extension like he wanted, has on his psyche. But like you said, we're all human, so we can understand how that might affect us as a person, and how it could affect somebody and their performance on the field. I think Amari's going to be okay, but I do think that there's something viable here, to Albert's point, that all those things that happened in this offseason, whether or not he's going to admit it publicly or not, it seems like he's got like one foot in, one foot out, at least to start the season. I think he's going to turn it around, but I do think that's kind of what we're seeing from him to this point.
I think I put it this way yesterday. I came into the season watching for signs. Same with the offensive line. All right, there's a lot of uncertainty here, injuries, new O-line coach. I'm watching this to see. 2 weeks in, I think the O-line is a thing that we can go, okay, suspicion's confirmed.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are with Amari. The difference is, especially at tackle, Amari, especially if we put this to the Browns tackle, Amari has earned a little bit more patience.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
But now that being said, that patience, that grace gets lopped if you cost him a game. Or if it's another specific situational big play where it's a drop, which is not something we associate with you. And I think it was clear going into the Jacksonville game, nobody in the NFL needed a bigger game than Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I think from the Browns' perspective, nobody on the Browns needs a big game, a get-right game, if you will, more than Amari Cooper.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.